Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, we are so glad to be back in your earbuds for our first mini-series of 2022, and we are jumping off this year talking all about work. We know that as moms, we do a lot of different types of work in the home, outside of the home. We are going to cover the whole gamut and talk about it all, and we can't wait for you to join us. We also have some interviews coming up, and we are talking to moms about how they manage and think through and just trust the Lord in the various types of work that He's given them. And we're going to end the series with a message that we think all of us need to hear about how we can be unified with other moms in our perspective on work. So we're going to jump in there in just a minute. But first, we wanted to draw your attention to something that is really special and exciting that we have been hoping and praying towards for years. And that is the fact that this mini series is donor funded. And that's going to be the case for all of the mini series this year, which means that at the beginning of every episode, there is no sponsorship, no ad slot. We just get to jump right into the episode and get straight to the content. So we want to thank you for your generosity towards our ministry, for making this possible, that we can just, like I said, get the content straight to moms. And then finally, we want to let you know that if you are in the midst of processing the gospel and motherhood across all different areas of life, work, and then things like marriage and food choices and schooling choices and body image, Laura and I put together a whole book on this topic where we really walk you through not only the framework of the gospel, creation, fall, redemption, consummation, but we model throughout 16 different topics how you can apply that. And so our hope at the end of that is not that, you know, your lives would look like ours, but that you would learn to apply the gospel in whatever situation of motherhood you're facing right now. So you can get a copy of that wherever books are sold. We've got, you know, a beautiful hardcover version, and we also have Kindle and audiobook. And another exciting thing is that it's being translated into several different languages right now. We'll share more information as we get it, but we definitely have a Spanish version already available that you can purchase. So we would love to just recommend that to you if you're processing through the gospel and motherhood. And let's get to the series. Let's start to talk about work and motherhood.
Over the years, you and I have really changed what our motherhood looks like and what work looks like, right? And I think for a lot of moms, it can kind of become this area of, hey, you are faithful or you are not faithful to your womanhood or your motherhood as to whether or not you work. And I feel like you and I have kind of said, oh, we can see all the sides because we've sort of experienced the gamut of things.
Yeah, and like you're saying, I think in Christian circles particularly, this can be an even more confusing topic because we do have convictions about faithfulness and motherhood and what an important responsibility it is. But we also see biblically that, you know, God has given all of us work to do. And I think, you know, one thing that you and I have both learned, no matter what we're doing with volunteering or income producing work, or we're full-time stay-at-home moms, is that work matters and that every single mom works. And so when we're thinking about it from that perspective, we don't have to be scared to talk about the topic of work, because this is something that God has given for every mom to do in its broadest sense.
Well, yeah, I think it's so funny when we do get really hung up on, hey, was that work paid or not? Or did you receive income for that? And I think that it's something where, I don't know, as moms, it's like, I think there's been a good pendulum swing in the past, I would even say like 5 to 10 years, where people have said, hey, all moms work. I do think that message is starting to come out.
Yeah.
But that's something we want to really push harder on here, to recognize that it doesn't matter if you're a full-time stay-at-home mom or you are the CEO of a company. Like, at some level, there is, we are all working. There is like similar work that we all do even. Yeah. And then there's distinct work that we do. But I feel like this thing where we get really, really caught up about like, what is work? And if you say the word work, that means you're making money. And we want to expand that term and talk about it in a much broader and more biblical sense.
Amen. So this series is for every single mom. So do not turn this off if you don't have an income producing job outside of the home. We really think that this is a great series for every single one of us to think about. And we want to just start by defining the word work. As we're going to kind of talk about it throughout the series, we're going to do our best to kind of differentiate what types of work we're talking about as we go along. But for this just initial episode, when we're talking about work in general, what do we mean, Laura?
Well, another Google. Work is activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. So that is pretty much all the work that we're all doing. And so when we're talking about work, like Emily said, we're talking about that ordinary work that every mom's going to do. We're going to wash dishes. We're going to sweep the floor. We're going to pick up after our kids. We're going to go to doctor's appointments, all that kind of stuff. We're talking about that service-oriented work, the humble work of motherhood, that, you know, the vomit that we're cleaning up. I always vomit when I clean up vomit. And so side note, my husband doesn't allow me to clean up vomit anymore because he will have more to clean up. Hey, isn't that awesome?
That's a hot tip for a new mom. I know. You just puke right away when your kid pukes and then you don't have to do that work anymore.
I have like the queasiest stomach. And so funny. I will clean it up. I'm like, babe, I'm going to do, you know? And so I won't make any more vomiting noises on the, on the podcast, but just so everybody knows, it is a good way to go about. Do it once and your husband will forever clean it up.
Okay. But we're also talking about work that we enjoy doing. Maybe it's things you're passionate about at home. Like maybe you love to bake or you have things that fit your interests, but we're also talking about work that we don't love to do, right? We all have chores around the house. Like I don't like answering emails, personal emails.
Personal emails.
Well, all emails.
I love work email.
All emails, but I see, I just avoid that test. But we all have types of work that we just don't really love to do. There is work that people notice that we do and they compliment us for it. And
homemade bread.
Oh yeah. Like I love bringing out that hot loaf and like, look what mommy made.
Your cinnamon rolls. I will compliment you all day on those.
I love those. Thank you. I'll receive that. Or just like the work that we do that no one notices. Right. And that is, frankly, in motherhood most and in all of life, that's most of it.
Yeah. So we have work that keeps us in the home, right? That all the stuff that Emily mostly has been talking about, mowing the lawn, washing the pants, washing the floors, keeping the fridge stock, all that kind of stuff. And then work that can take us away from the house, right? So this might be a job that you are going off and going to during the day, might be volunteering for the PTO, shopping for clothes. I don't know. Some of that stuff's done online now, but you know what we're saying. And then we have all the types of work that are part-time, full-time, income producing, not income producing, but you hope they will be someday.
I feel like hobbies. In 2022, there's like every combination of everything that you want.
I think that's so exciting for moms and for everyone. But I do think it almost makes this topic more complicated, but we'll get into that later. Okay, so let's pop into the gospel. Let's walk through that with work. Emily, do you want to just kick us off with that?
Oh, sure. Well, I think what's great, like what we mentioned earlier, is that work is a really broad topic. This isn't just limited to income producing. And the Bible actually presents work as a really good thing that we were all created to do. Work existed before the fall. In fact, like if we look at God and who he is, we see that he works, right? In creation, he takes 6 days to make the earth and fill it. You know, he speaks things into existence. And then on the seventh day, God finishes his work and he rests, which we're going to kind of get to that, a little teaser. And throughout scripture, we see all kinds of things that God does. I love Psalm 104. It goes through a lot of work that the Lord does. Verse 31 says, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. And so again, we're seeing that God is the first and primary worker, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, I think one thing that I always think is interesting from the creation story is that God works for 6 days and he rests for one. And I know often we talk about that one day of rest, But let's consider for a moment that he worked for 6 days. Like the majority, vast majority of his time was spent working. And I do think that's an interesting note, just to be able to even say, like, it's something that we as humans, as we image him, we have a very high capacity to do. Like, we can do a lot of work in large quantities before we need a break, if you're kind of even just looking at that ratio. So anyway, just a tidbit there. And then another thing to note that I always like looking at the life of Jesus and seeing how he worked as a carpenter, and then he did the work of ministry. He traveled, he healed, he shared the gospel, and ultimately the work of redemption on our behalf, which we'll get to when we get further down the gospel. But yeah, okay, so looking more at creation, what else do we see? We see that God created us to work and that work is good. So he put Adam in the garden to work it and keep it. And God said that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So he created Eve to be a helper, right? And his charged them to say, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so with this, I mean, this is the cultural mandate that he's given, both to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it. So that means not just procreation, but it also means that, hey, you're taking kind of these raw elements that are here in the garden and you are going to create something out of it.
Right. Kind of cultivate. Yeah. And yeah, see that fruitfulness. And then I think we see that carried out through scripture, you know, in through the New Testament, and see that now we're doing this in the context of the kingdom of God. So we're making disciples, we're doing the work of evangelism, and we are, you know, doing all the things that go along with that. But we still have this ordinary daily work just to make things happen, make the world run. And I know the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, is famous in the Bible. But if you look at all the different types of work that she does, it's pretty amazing. And it runs the gamut, everything from taking care of her children and her husband and her household to things in the marketplace. And she's opening her home to the poor and she's being hospitable. And again, she's like making money, she's selling land. So it's like there. In that, we see all these types of work to do, and that is part of our lives as believers.
It's something that, Emily, you drew out at one point, is just thinking about how there is no work too small or meaningless when it comes to service of God. And Emily was pointing out just like the idea of somebody carrying pegs with the covenant and the...
Oh, yes. I love
that
part.
The Ark of the Covenant.
I love this part.
Yes. So somebody was carrying pegs with the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, and it probably like wasn't the coolest job, right? It was one of those things.
They're handing out jobs and they're like you carry the pegs.
You carry the pegs. Sweet. You know, but that was important. It was something that was recorded in scripture. It was something that was delegated. And so I think it's just kind of remembering, especially in our lives as mothers, when we feel like there are a lot of meaningless jobs, like you carry the diapers, you carry the wipes, you carry the 55 bowls that your kid just handed you. None of those jobs are too small, too meaningless, too mundane, or too beneath you because they're done when they're done in service to the glory of God.
Yeah, and we know that Jesus did work that was quote-unquote beneath him, and he did work that was reserved for servants. I mean, the example that people always use is he was washing feet. And so we have to remember, if our Savior humbles himself to serve in that way, then that is probably what a good bit of our work is going to look like as well as we serve God.
The last note here, just in kind of the creation section, is God coupled our work with rest, right? So we talked about how God rested on that seventh day. And so we are not meant to work forever, which is sort of my mentality, is I like work with no rest. But we see that we can actually obey God, image him in the way that we rest and take a break from work. So while we can do a ton of work and we're designed to do a lot of work, we're also designed to rest and not do it, you know, endlessly without any break.
Yeah. I even like thinking about the way that God designed our bodies to sleep, you know, every 24 hours. And I heard recently that you will die of sleep deprivation before you die of starvation. And that actually, like, your body just begins to shut down a lot faster. So you literally have to rest and sleep or you will die.
Oh my goodness. I was just thinking about like how horrible it is to feel really tired.
It is horrible.
I know. And so to get to a point where you might die, like, what does that feel like? Oh my goodness.
Okay. Cringing. We digress. Yeah, the point was God created us to rest. And this isn't a function of the fall, or this isn't like a defect in his plan. This was actually part of it from the beginning.
Yep. But you mentioned the fall there, Emily, so we'll segue into that, because even though work is a good thing, there is a lot of error, and our work is really riddled with difficulties and hard things, right? So we have the curse and you have sin. And I think it's important somewhat when we talk about work to separate those. I mean, I think it's always important to understand the difference, but I think for a long time, perhaps even prior to starting Resident Motherhood, I didn't always know how to separate those very well. And I would often just think the fall, right? And everything was kind of sin filled, but just kind of thinking through, no, there's sin in our hearts. So, you know, we might be workaholics. We might be lazy. We might have pride. Most of us have some sort of idolatry around work, right? But then you also have the curse on the earth, to where it's actually very hard to maintain. It's actually impossible to maintain what is in front of us and the work that we have to do. And we will never be able to say, oh, I've gotten all the work accomplished that I wanted to do, or I was able to do that project exactly how I wanted to do that, or I was able to create that exactly how I wanted to create that. Because things are in disorder because of the fall, because of the curse on the earth, things don't go the way we want them to. And so you have these two coupled together that really make work difficult.
And sometimes when we're thinking about the things that make work difficult, there's also just like circumstances in our lives that are out of our control. Like maybe we are, you know, a mom who is experiencing chronic illness, or we are on bed rest, or dealing with postpartum depression, or dealing with a season of deep grief. Things like that absolutely impact our ability to do different kinds of work. It impacts our capacity. There are distortions that we all probably have from our upbringing about, you know, what type of work we should do or not do. And there are cultural norms and standards and expectations that impact our ability to have a biblical view of work. And so I think there's just so many factors. And so when you bring in, you know, the curse, and then you bring in sin, and then you bring in just like the different circumstances that God has given us in our lives, there are absolutely kind of barriers to doing all different types of work to the glory of God.
So the question is, when you work, which you will work, how are you going to do it? Like, how are we going to face it? What kind of attitude should we have when we approach it? And just so you guys know, we're going to get into a lot of the nitty-gritty of, hey, how do you decide with income-producing work? How do you juggle the work? How do you, we're going to talk about a lot of those things. But right now we want to like pull a bird's eye view to say, no matter what kind of work that you're engaging in, what are some high-level principles that we can think about as we go throughout our days, and like asking ourselves, hey, is this a mentality that I take with myself, no matter if I'm in the boardroom, I'm on a Zoom call, or I'm at home and I'm vacuuming the living room floor? You know, all of these things, there are these biblical principles that do apply with whatever kind of work we're doing.
Yeah. And if we actually want to fly the theology drone a little higher.
Oh, yeah, please.
Do you ever think I would say theology drone?
No, but I like it very much. Let's have it be a thing.
I'm trying to find a funny term that's the reverse of unpacking.
Oh, okay.
You get down on the ground, you're unpacking.
Yes.
We're putting our theology drone into the sky.
Very 2021 of you, or 22 of you.
New year. You know, if we are going to do whatever work we're doing to the glory of God and some of the principles, we have to first kind of settle that question in our heart of like, what makes me good before the Lord? Is it my works? Is it the goodness of what I do? Is it the accomplishments that I get done each day? You know, the health of my body and the amount of energy that I have? Like, we have to settle that. And I know you guys know this answer, but we really want to say it again, because it matters that we remember this, is that it is only through Christ that we have righteousness before God. It is through Christ that God sees us as good, that he approves of us. And we don't have to wrestle through that question over and over and over again when we are followers of Christ and we are redeemed by him. And I think what that means is that we can enter like all of our work from a heart that is at rest, and not a heart that is like striving to prove ourselves and to feel like we're good enough, or we don't have to beat ourselves up, but we can have that question of our soul settled. And then we're kind of free to go about whatever work God has given us with an attitude of service.
Yeah, I love that, Emily. And I do think that that
plays right into this of thinking through, okay, whatever kind of work we're doing as moms, we want to be hard workers. We want to do it to the best of our abilities. We want to do it knowing that we're leaning on God's strength, not our own. And so each of us have different capacities, different gifts, different skill sets, different life circumstances, like we talked about earlier, different sin tendencies. But no matter what those things are, whatever that unique kind of DNA of your life is, you can still be a hard worker in it. You can still be someone that doesn't fall prey to the idols in your life. You can still think through, hey, what does it mean to serve the Lord, to have a servant heart in this instance? How can I be humble? How can I image Christ in this? How can I be somebody who recognizes that my reward isn't necessarily tied to this work? It might be at some level, but eternally it's not. Like in the kingdom economy, all of your works will be seen by the Lord and mm-hmm. he will repay. And so we can recognize that, like, whether or not we're paid for our work, whether or not that payment is even in a compliment or it's in dollars, that like someday we are working towards a much greater thing where we will receive an eternal reward for the work that we've done here.
It's such a great thing to keep in mind. It's a totally different perspective.
It's a totally different perspective.
And I think it allows us to take the long view. It allows us, like you're saying, to be able to do very quiet, hidden, humble work because we know that the Lord sees. And I think the other thing that redemption does as it changes our hearts is it allows us to do all of our work with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
Oh, yes.
Did I get it?
Very
okay.
Good.
Yep, yep. You're lucky I didn't sing like a little kid song for you guys. But anyways, I think that those are things that no matter what work we're doing, like Laura's saying, whether it's something in the home or it's something outside of the home, you know, we are Christian women who are working and we're going to be doing that with a different attitude and a different heart and a different posture than the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I often think of us at Risen Motherhood. One of the things that we talk about is everyone's a floor sweeper. And basically what that means is that no one is above any task at the end of the day. Like we can all sweep the floor, you know, and just like within motherhood, it doesn't matter if you're the president of a company or you're a stay-at-home mom, like you're probably sweeping a floor somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we can see value in that work and say, I'm going to sweep this floor to the best of my ability because this is the work that's before me right now. And we know that leading the boardroom meeting or performing surgery is no more important or valuable in the kingdom economy than sweeping that floor is.
Oh, it's so true. And I think to kind of spin off that, there's an attitude that we carry that recognizes we're not just trying to do the bare minimum. Like we're not just, ooh, I'm just going to barely eke out whatever I can do to kind of just get by. We are meant to cultivate and create and actually make things more beautiful, more enjoyable, more orderly. And so, you know, the example that I sometimes think of with this is the property that we live on. When we first got it, it was full of trash and the plants were overgrown. There was a lot of dead trees, things that were no longer useful. You know, the ground was kind of polluted with nasty cans and all this stuff. And over the course of years, you know, this got cleaned off. It all got graded. The plants got kind of, you know, like we just tore down all the nasty dead ones and like left the healthiest trees.
Okay. You pruned them.
Pruned.
Of? Okay.
Pruned back all the plants. And, you know, we built our house there. And then even as we've had our house there, it's taken over the course of years to like do some landscaping. And then just last summer we had this corn crib foundation that was still in our yard, just this big, nasty piece of concrete. It's an eyesore. And we turned it into a garden. And I think, you know, that's not to say like, oh, the house looks so amazing, but just this idea that over the course of time, we're taking this plot of whatever God has given us in life. And we are continually doing things to make it more orderly, more beautiful, and more fruitful to bless the world.
Yeah, that's really good, Emily. It reminds me of what I was trying to kind of hint at the beginning about Adam and Eve and how they were really to cultivate the garden, which means not just kind of leave it as is and maintain it, but to also build society and civilization and the arts and culture and really create a life there. And that's what we're doing here on earth still. That charge is the same for us. And so just as we think about the series, you guys, and as we wrap up this show, we want to let you know that like our goal on this show
isn't to convince you of, hey, this is exactly how many hours you should work or this is what you shouldn't, but to really see that, like, it's to broaden your vision of what work is and see that we are all working almost all the time, you know, a very significant portion of our lives. And all of that work is incredibly valuable. It's incredibly meaningful. And so we want to talk through this series about just what kind of workers we should be and reminding you too of who we're ultimately working for.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.